It's just after 6 o'clock here on 88.7 WLUW Chicago. And now, ladies and gentlemen, broadcasting from the 100-watt ingrown hair, 88.7, and podcasting exclusively on OutsideTheLoopRadio.com, coming to you from a soundproof booth out in front of Eckerd Park, across the street from Ruben's Unisex Barbershop, this is another edition of Outside the Loop Radio, Chicago's almost above ground audio magazine.
Oh, man. The 100-watt ingrown hair. That's a new one.
Did you write that?
I did not write that. I think he came up with that on his own. Thanks, little announcer guy. Appreciate that one.
There he goes.
This is Outside the Loop Radio. Come on, stay tuned here. Stay with us. We are here in the soundproof booth. We are Chicago's almost above ground audio magazine. Happy Friday, everybody. I'm your host, Mike Steven.
And I'm your executive producer, Andy Herman.
We're happy to be back here in the booth, as we always are, each Friday from 6 to 6:30. Your almost above ground audio magazine hits the airwaves Outside the Loop Radio here on 88.7. OutsideTheLoopRadio.com is the show website, so be sure to hit that up. Again, OutsideTheLoopRadio.com. We have all the shows archived, and we have lots of good stuff. The podcast is available through OutsideTheLoopRadio.com, also on iTunes. But also, we put up, Andy, you actually posted some pictures and video from our time at Vocalo.
I certainly did. It just went up this past weekend.
Yeah.
Our entire appearance at Vocalo.org. With our buddy Dan Weissman.
And you can go to see the picture, the picture of Dan as the deer in headlights. And then the picture, or rather the video that I shot with your camera.
You made that discovery.
I had no idea that your digital camera did video.
So 13 seconds at a time.
Just a whopping 13 seconds of behind the scenes at Vocalo. You can see what the studios look like. You can see what our microphones look like. There's a nice close up of that, and then it cuts out. That's it. Then it's the rest is the theater of the mind, my friends. That's all we can do for you. So hit up OutsideTheLoopRadio.com. We're linked up through WLUW.org. Like I said, we're in the soundproof booth, and we take the booth out each week and broadcast the show from all different areas of Chicagoland, because that's what we're all about here on Outside the Loop. We are a show that talks about issues and topics that are relevant to the community, the entire Chicagoland community. So we try to stay as local as possible. We'll have local music later in the show. But Andy, this week we are broadcasting in the booth across the street from your barbershop.
Yes, my old stomping grounds, my old neighborhood, and still my barbershop.
You go to, what's it called? I can't see out the porthole here.
Ruben's Unisex.
Ruben's Unisex. Let's get the periscope up.
Periscope up.
Yes, there we are. I can see Ruben's across the street. Barbershops are so great.
I love barbershops.
You know, growing up, I went to a barbershop, man, probably for 12 or 13, 14 years. The Mercury Barbershop, which is no more. It was on North Avenue in Elmwood Park where I grew up. And Ray and Dan were in there, and they were cutting hair. But those, you know, barbers, and seriously, when I was in high school, I was in the theater productions. Ray and Dan would come to the theater productions.
Really?
At my high school. Yeah. See, that's what I'm talking about. Barbers are it's almost like an extension of family.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You see them fairly often. You sit down, and plus they're really informed. Because they see everyone in the community.
They talk with everyone.
Yeah. So they know every bit of gossip. But they make you feel at home. So is that one of the reasons why you like to go to Ruben's?
Somewhat.
What's the other reason?
I like Ruben's. I get a good haircut. It's nearby. And everybody speaks Spanish but me.
You're the gringo. You are the minority. You're the token, my friend.
That's right.
Well, Andy, we've got so much to do on this week's edition of Outside the Loop Radio. I know I say that every week. I usually don't mean it, but this week we've got so much to do. Lots of action-packed material. Later in the program, my good friend, what are we doing?
Later in the show, we'll be talking to a guy who has not visited the barber to get a shave recently, a guy who is growing a mustache for charity. And after that, we'll be talking about how Illinois residents are carrying around many toxins in their bodies.
Yes, we will. But first, we'll get an update as to what the FCC is planning to do now. We had the public hearings in September talking about the loosening of media ownership regulations. A lot of people did not like that. They let the FCC hear it. But what's the FCC doing now? Stay tuned to find out. The music this week, and by the way, we feature local music on every edition of Outside the Loop Radio, so you can send us your tunes if you're in a band or you know someone in a band. Just drop us a line. We'd love to hear from you. info@outsidetheloopradio.com. You can also email us any general correspondence, love letters, tips, story ideas, whatever you like. info@outsidetheloopradio.com. The music this week comes from The Soft Targets. We've got some brand new music from that local band. Their album is coming out next week on the 20th of November. That's on Tuesday. The album is called We Hate You, Soft Targets. And they're playing two shows tomorrow. They're two record release shows. One's at 2 o'clock at Permanent Records, 1914 West Chicago Avenue. Not too far from where we are right now,
that's
Andy.
Right.
And tomorrow night at 9 o'clock over at The Note on Milwaukee and North Avenue. So right now it's music from The Soft Targets. This is Outside the Loop Radio. I'm your host, Mike Steven, in the soundproof booth with executive producer Andy Herman here on WLUW. You know, I really think there needs to be an FCC soap opera, like a show with all the main characters or the FCC commissioners, and it's like a soap opera, a daytime soap.
You can't write this stuff. Truth is so much stranger than fiction, especially in cases with the FCC.
Plus, could you see Michael Copps without a shirt on? I don't know.
I could. I don't want to.
I'd be fine. That's fine with me. I like Michael Copps. Speaking of the FCC and the commissioners, on OTL 51, we talked with Commissioner Jonathan Adelstein. He is one of the two Democratic commissioners on the FCC. We talked to him because the commissioners were coming to Chicago to engage in a public hearing that was held on the South Side about further loosening media ownership rules. Well, the FCC certainly got an earful. A lot of people came out to that event. Andy and I went down there. We heard a lot of people complaining about big media and how media seems to be getting bigger. Well, this week, Kevin Martin, who is the chairman of the Federal Communications Commission, came out and said that he would propose that the commission conclude its review of the broadcast ownership rules by adopting some new regulatory changes. We'll find out about all of this, what Chairman Martin is thinking, and what this could mean for media in this ongoing saga here on As the FCC Turns. Craig Aaron is the communications director for Free Press. That's an organization that's nonpartisan, and it promotes equality and public participation in media, as well as public interest and competition in media. Craig is on the phone with us here on Outside the Loop Radio. Craig, thanks for joining us tonight.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Now, Craig, like I said, Chairman Martin has proposed a new set of regulatory changes. At the basis for these changes, as he says, is the decline in newspapers, the decline in revenue, in the market share and readership. Tell us a little bit about exactly how this all works, what would happen under his proposed changes.
Sure. Well, what Chairman Martin has proposed this week, he wrote a big op-ed in the New York Times, he released a press release, and he said that he wants to get rid of a longstanding rule called the newspaper broadcast cross-ownership rule. This has been a rule that's been in place since the 1970s, and in most markets, it prevents one company from owning the daily newspaper and a television or radio station. Of course, there are markets where this is an exception, Chicago being one obvious one, where the properties were grandfathered in, so Tribune is allowed to own the daily newspaper and WGN-AM and WGN-TV. But in most of the country, those kind of arrangements aren't allowed, including in a lot of places where Tribune owns other newspapers and television stations that they've been operating and a temporary waiver. So companies like Tribune and Belo and Rupert Murdoch's News Corp have long been wanting to get rid of this ban on newspaper broadcast cross-ownership because it would allow them to start swapping properties. So, you know, I own a TV station here, you own a newspaper there, let's trade them and we can each become, you know, really the only game in town when it comes to the news. So Chairman Martin, who's been traveling the country supposedly listening to the people, 99.9% of whom told him, you know, don't change the rules, we don't want to let these big companies own even more, but he's going ahead and trying to do it anyway. But he's being pretty clever about it, because what he's done is he said, well, he's only going to maybe do it in the top 20 markets, and he's going to limit it to one TV station in the cross-ownership and lots of other complicated things. Although, when you get down to the fine print, he's really laying the groundwork to gut the whole rule completely. And these guys are just looking, you know, before the Bush administration gets out of office, one more set of special favors. And, you know, we just simply shouldn't do it. It's unpopular. People don't want it. Congress doesn't want it. Yet Kevin Martin is pushing forward this big giveaway.
You mentioned that Congress weighed in on this issue, and I know recently Senators Byron Dorgan and Trent Lott, Democrat and Republican, respectively, came out and said, you know, hold on here, Chairman Martin, we want to look this over, and they really tried to put a halt to this rush to change the rules. What's the status with Congress and the FCC in terms of checking what the FCC is doing?
Well, you know, Congress has a role to play here. They have oversight over the FCC. You know, it's their responsibility to make sure these guys are doing their jobs. And they look at the same public record the rest of us look at it, where, you know, six public hearings, all but one or two people came to testify that, you know, didn't work for a media company, came to testify and say, don't change the rules. There's hundreds of thousands, I think something like 350,000 comments filed with the FCC. 99.9% of them say, don't change the rules. So Congress is saying, wow, you know, an issue with 99.9% of the opinion on one side, that seems like a pretty good one if you want to get elected. You know, they're starting to get interested and involved, and they're also looking back at the last time the FCC tried to do this in 2003 under Michael Powell. 3 million people contacted the FCC in Congress that year to reject these very same rule changes. So Byron Dorgan and Trent Lott, you know, an odd couple, you know, they don't agree on very much, but they went up and they said, you know, if you continue to do this, we're going to pursue what's called a resolution of disapproval. It's a very rarely used sort of congressional veto of new regulations. In fact, the only time the Senate's used it in recent memory was to throw out these exact same rules in 2003. So they put that threat on the table. They've also introduced a good piece of legislation called the Media Reform Act of 2000, excuse me, the Media Ownership Act of 2007 that Dorgan and Lott have introduced. And it's a good bill. What it would do is it would ensure that any new rules that Kevin Martin puts out, that they have to have at least 90 days of public comment. It would force Martin to complete what's called the localism proceeding. It was something that Powell started that never got finished, but they're supposed to look at the actual impact of these rule changes on local media. And perhaps most importantly, it would force them to put together a minority ownership task force that Commissioner Adelstein has called for. I'm pretty confident when they actually do this task force, if they do, they'll find that the only thing to do is really roll back media consolidation, which is why Kevin Martin has tried to avoid holding such a task force. So the bill's got a chance, but, you know, Congress doesn't move that fast. So Kevin Martin, you know, what he's trying to do is rush through these changes before the end of the year, before Christmas, you know, tie it up in a bow for big media. Hopefully Congress, and it's going to take a lot more people calling their Congress members, especially in the Senate, to really throw a wrench into Martin's plan.
Well, what you can do is call your senator, call your representative, and of course you can go to freepress.net. That's freepress.net for all of the information on the Media Ownership Act of 2007 and what Chairman Kevin Martin of the FCC plans to do. This is a very important issue, and really we've been covering it here on Outside the Loop Radio, and we will continue to do so. Craig Aaron is the communications director for Free Press. Again, that website, freepress.net. Craig, thanks for giving us your time, and I'm sure we'll talk to you or someone from Free Press soon about this continuing soap opera as the FCC turns.
Thanks so much for staying on the story.
Glass, tiny shards of glass, they're from your broken.
This is Andy Herman, executive producer of Outside the Loop on your listener-supported community radio, 88.7 WLUW.
And this is your host, Mike Steven. We're in the soundproof booth right now, as we always are, broadcasting this week from across the street from Andy's barbershop. It's actually not his barbershop. He doesn't own it, but he goes there. It's called Ruben's Unisex. And it'll make sense why we're broadcasting from outside of a barbershop in just a minute. But right now, the music we're listening to comes from the local band, The Soft Targets. This is off of their record, their new record, by the way, called We Hate You, Soft Targets. You can go to their website, soft-targets.com. It's a good local rock and roll for you. They're playing tomorrow. That's 2 o'clock p.m., a record release show at Permanent Records, 1914 West Chicago. And tomorrow night, the big rock show over at The Note. That's on Milwaukee Avenue, just right by North Avenue, Milwaukee and North. OutsideTheLoopRadio.com is our show's website. Hit that site up for the podcast of the program, and you can also get audio archives, and there's pictures and video. It's OutsideTheLoopRadio.com, linked up through WLUW.org. Check it out. Around Chicagoland, there are a lot of really great people doing a lot of great things, a lot of charities happening around the area, and a lot of people come up with really clever and interesting ways to raise money for charities, and it's a great thing. It makes you feel good, and what better way to do that than to grow facial hair? Yes, my friends, because if you think back to Outside the Loop number 12, we talked with Timothy Sondrial from the Mustaches for Kids charity. I'll say that again. It's Mustaches for Kids. And this year, we are very, very fortunate and very excited to have what we think is a celebrity. We have in the soundproof booth right now, representing Mustaches for Kids, Stash Gordon. Stash Gordon, welcome to Outside the Loop Radio.
Great to be here.
It's great to have you here. Now, Stash, you are a grower in Mustaches for Kids, so you participate in the charity. By the way, you also are the winner of the Abe Froman Award for 2006.
Yes, I was.
That's very important.
The Abe Froman Award goes to the grower who raised the most cash, and I was lucky enough to have some very generous donors across the board and brought in $2,600.
Wow, very cool.
Thank you.
Well, Mustaches for Kids, it's a charity, like I said, and tell us a little bit about how it works and what charity you guys are growing for.
Mustaches for Kids is actually an international organization, and by international, we mean Canada.
It works for me.
Yeah. So it counts.
Yeah.
It absolutely counts.
Sure, sure.
It was founded back in 1999, and basically has raised over $150,000 to date.
Wow.
For various children's charities. And the way it's structured is that each city adopts their own favorite children's charity. So our inaugural year was 2006, and we picked the Off the Street Club out on the west side. They are Chicago's oldest and largest children's charity, founded back in 1898, and they serve over 3,000 kids every year.
So last year was Chicago's first Mustaches for Kids experience. How did you guys do? How much money did you raise?
We raised over $13,000.
That's
in
great.
4 weeks. Yeah,
$13,000 in 4 weeks.
It was incredible. It bought them a van.
That's very cool. Yes. Well, tell us then a little bit about how it actually works, because this is a whole like seasonal thing that those who participate, and it's mainly men because it's Mustaches for Kids. It'd be kind of weird if it were women participant. You haven't had any women yet, have you?
You know, it's interesting that you say that.
Oh, my God. What have I done?
We don't have any female growers yet, although if there are any that want to try it, we are open. We are absolutely open to that. But one of our leadership members is female.
Cool.
She understands the power of the stash.
Yeah.
She loves the stash. It's a powerful force for good.
Well, I must say, speaking of a powerful force, you have a full-on, thick, very, very massive beard that you're sporting right now.
Thank you. It's my winter. I like to build my winter coat up a little bit early.
When you go into hibernation, I see.
Exactly.
So basically, those who would like to participate in Mustaches for Kids, and by the way, you can go to the website. It's M4. That's M, the number 4, KChicago.org. M4KChicago.org. So people who would like to participate, grow mustaches and get pledges, right?
That's exactly right. We have a kickoff called Shaving Day. This year, that'll be November 19th at Shuba's Tavern. And all the growers shave their beards, facial hair. They all start from zero. So this luscious, beautiful face that you're seeing right now on this radio, and hopefully the people listening at home can visualize it, because I am fairly proud of it, goes away.
How long did it take you to grow that massive beard?
This right now, I believe, is a six-week beard.
Wow. Oh, 6 weeks and you got that beast on you?
Well, I don't trim it. I haven't been trimming it. Okay. I typically like to sculpt.
I see.
And it kind of got away from me. I've been pretty busy so far this fall.
So the Shaving Day kickoff is coming up Monday. That's November the 19th at Shuba's, Belmont and Southport, at 7 p.m. Everyone shaves, so everyone's on equal footing. And then you go out, you grow your stash, you feed it, you give it love and attention, and you get pledges for the Off the Street Club. And then this all culminates with an event called the Stash Bash, and that's happening in December, right?
That's exactly right. That's on December 17th at Subterranean this year. All the profits from the evening are going to go to Off the Street Club. And if it's anything like last year, it is an unbelievable experience.
What was your favorite part of last year's Stash Bash?
Well, me, of course.
Well, naturally. I mean, seriously, you are a hairy dude.
Yeah.
And I'm very, very happy that you're here in the soundproof booth, because you are more manly than Andy and I can ever be. I don't think we could ever achieve that.
You know, once you start growing that out, when you feel the love radiating inside and you realize that you're doing this for the kids, you'd be amazed what your follicles can do.
And you know what? That's a good point. It's all for the kids, and it's all for charity. And I really think it's just an interesting and funny and cool way to raise money for a charity.
It is. You could do your walkathons, but I'm lazy. You could do your readathons, but I'm stupid. But the one thing I can do is grow hair, and in copious, copious amounts.
We all have gifts, and Stash Gordon's gift is hair. Ladies and gentlemen, Stash Gordon, again, a grower for mustaches for kids. That website, again, m4kchicago.org. That's m4kchicago.org. Mustaches for Kids is what it's all about, and it's for the Off the Street Club. All the pledges, all the money collected benefits Off the Street Club. It's very cool, and really good luck with the mustaches for kids. This is a big, big season for you guys. And when you do shave that beard, my friend Stash Gordon, you better have a sword, because you're going to dull any sort of Mach 3 or Norelco that you get your hands on.
I'll send some clippings to you so you can put that up on your wall.
Beautiful. Many of us make an effort to stay healthy in our daily lives. A lot of us go walking, we jog and work out and eat good foods. And trying to stay healthy is on our collective conscience. But what if we couldn't avoid harm to our bodies? What if daily life posed a serious health risk just because of the products that we use? How would we stay healthy then? Well, there is a report that came out recently that documents the results of blood and urine testing of 35 people from 7 states for contamination with 3 toxic chemical families. The report is called Is It In Us? Chemical Contamination in Our Bodies, Toxic Trespass, Regulatory Failure, and Opportunities for Action. Max Muller is an environmental advocate at Environment Illinois. That is a nonpartisan statewide group that is an environmental advocacy organization and is also a nonprofit organization. Max is on the phone with us here on Outside the Loop Radio to tell us about this report and more. Max, welcome to the show.
Hello.
It's good to have you here, and this is really interesting because the report says that pollution is in our bodies every day. It's in everyone. What exactly did this report find floating around in our bodies, and is it enough to be concerned?
Yes, it is. So let me just tell you the premise of the report. You know, I think most people in the country and in Illinois think that there's an authority out there that's ensuring the safety of products and the chemicals in those products that they buy and bring into their homes. And the fact is that just isn't true. It's okay to use toxic chemicals in consumer products. And most of the chemicals that are used in products have never even been tested for toxicity. We have no idea what their health impacts are. And the premise of this report was acknowledging that toxic chemicals are legal for use in consumer products. You know, if they're in the products we use, are they also getting into our bodies? And so we tested five Illinoisans from the Chicagoland area for contamination with three families of toxic chemicals that are found in everyday consumer products. And we found those toxic chemicals in everybody we tested. And this study was part of a larger national project where we were one state. We had five participants, but there were six other states participating for 35 participants total. And we found toxic chemicals in every single person nationally who we studied.
So these chemicals are in a lot of products, a lot of food that we consume every day. But a lot of people go on and live normal, healthy lives, or at least they think they do on the outside, and people never really develop the problems that these chemicals cause. How much of a problem is this that these chemicals are showing up in our bodies? Are they really causing serious health problems that people notice?
Well, you know, there are hundreds of studies linking these chemicals to health impacts in both human and animal studies. It's not possible to link any one person's ailment to the level of one particular chemical in their body. But what scientists do know is that in the last century or so, infectious disease has ceased to be kind of the number one public health plague. What's replaced that, infectious diseases as the big public health problem, are chronic long-term illnesses, things like obesity, asthma, learning disabilities. And these things are actually increasing or thought to be increasing. They're becoming more common despite all of our advances in medical technology. What's concurrent with those increases are the vast expansion of chemical use in the industrialized world. We are exposed to thousands of chemicals every day as we just go about our normal lives. And although we just looked at three chemicals in this project, and those three are known to be toxic, it's a fact that the vast majority of the 80,000 chemicals that are registered for use in the marketplace haven't been tested for safety. And so we have no assurance that they're safe, and we know even less about which ones interact with other chemicals to cause even worse health impacts. And so it's a concern shared among scientists that this rise in chemical use is correlated to this rise in chronic health problems.
Well, what can we do? Is there a solution? Because obviously we're not going to be able to wave a magic wand and get rid of these chemicals overnight because they are so pervasive in the things that we encounter, the products that we encounter on an everyday basis. Well, what exactly can we do to make ourselves, our bodies, more clean and more pure on the inside?
Well, there are a few common sense policy reforms that need to be adopted either at the federal level, or if the federal government won't do it, then states need to do it. I mean, it shouldn't be legal to use a chemical like phthalates in children's toys. These chemicals have been shown in human studies to cause developmental defects in children. And so California, the state of California, has actually passed a law modeled after a European Union law to ban these chemicals from children's toys. We should adopt policies like that to get rid of the known hazards. We should also require that all chemicals be required to be shown safe before they're allowed to be used in products that are in people's homes. And we should have a chemical system that provides incentives for safe chemicals to be used instead of dangerous ones. So that's really what we need to do. And we need that policy at the federal level. It should be comprehensive, apply to all chemicals. But until we get there, what's going on is we're seeing states like California, you know, lead the way by passing bills that at least get rid of the most dangerous known toxics. And right here in Illinois, there's a state representative. Her name's Elaine Nekritz. She was actually one of the participants in this project. She has been working on bills for the past a few legislative sessions to eliminate the use of these PBDE flame retardants, one of the chemicals we studied. So efforts like that are a really good start, but ultimately we need comprehensive chemical policy reform in this country.
Well, this is a really important issue that we need to be aware of, and people can go to the website to check out the full report. The website is isitinus.org. That's isitinus.org, and they can see the full report that is called Is It In Us? Chemical Contamination in Our Bodies. Max Muller is an environmental advocate at Environment Illinois. You can hit up that website, environmentillinois.org. Max, thanks so much for giving us some time here on Outside the Loop Radio.
All right, thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to another edition of Outside the Loop Radio. That just about does it. You know, Andy, this has been show number 60. I forgot to mention that in the intro.
You know, we were so excited that today marks 60 OTL shows.
Now, you know, I hope the Museum of Broadcast Communications has a link to OutsideTheLoopRadio.com so they can pull any audio that they might need for, I don't know, a Marconi Award or any sort of award that they might want to pass along our way here at OTL HQ.
Well, there's just so much audio magic to choose from.
It's all about the magic, my friend. All about the OTL magic. That's why they pay us a lot of money. Thanks for listening. We'll be back again next Friday. We are here every Friday from 6 to 6:30 here on your listener-supported community radio, 88.7 WLUW Chicago. Stay tuned because Slacky J and the Reggae Vibes is coming your way right now. It's always very cool on a Friday night. Have a great weekend, everyone. Copyright 2007.
Albert James Productions.
Thanks to DJ Goldie G, Dave Goldman, for composing the OTL theme song. Thanks to Lawyer Danny for being our intrepid legal representation. Andy, I'll see you again next week. We'll pack up the soundproof booth. You've been listening to Outside the Loop Radio here on 88.7 WLUW.
Chicago.